yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize from the different works of life and backgrounds and kindreds and tongue and tribe and nations and people that you've made us who we are and what we are by your blood and through the scars of Jesus' body. You've healed our diseases and our wounds, made us whole. That you are the only reason why we are still here. That you are the only reason why we are relevant in this life. And that among our siblings, you favored us. You've distinguished us from others. You've made us to differ, even among our kinsmen, from others. We recognize this and give you praise. And pray that our lives will honor you. That everything that we are and will ever be will truly honor you in deeds and not in words. That our actions will honor you, Lord. That our dealings with one another will honor you. That will be our legacy. And that is how we will be defined by others, that these individuals truly do honor their God. May that be who we are. Never taking you for granted. Never putting confidence and trust in anything but you. Now we cease the bewitchment of the adversary and override any form of bewitchment over your people and this house and this nation. That we will not be bewitched to hear and not to obey the truth of your word. Let the spell be lifted off us. Let the veil by which we have been veiled spiritually be destroyed. Let the spell, the bewitchment that makes us unwilling to obey your word be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let embargoes be lifted off your people and this house in the name of your son Jesus. Oh God, arise. Arise to the cause and defense of your name and your people and your heritage. For thou, O Lord, art a shield about us. Thou, O Lord, art our glory and the lifter up of our head. Do a new thing this morning. Bring illumination. Bring conviction. And let there be, I pray, new beginnings in all of our lives. Let chains be broken. Let there be light among your people. Let there be light in every life. And let there be light in the life of everyone that hears the sound of the voice of your manservant. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Before you are seated, can you please take a minute or two? Just love somebody. Welcome somebody. Go pass. Just go love on somebody. Go welcome somebody. Talk to somebody. Guys, we need one another. And be seated, and the shout of the king is in the house, and put your hands together. This morning we want to talk about the essence of life and blessings. The essence of life and blessings. So many live without a sense of direction. So many live and die and go to their graves not knowing why they came, not knowing why they were born, not knowing why they lived. They lived because they were born. And they go to school, get educated, and do well in life, acquire wealth and the goods of this world, and they build houses, achieve goals, live well, make a name for themselves, and go to their grave, never knowing why they were born and why they came. It's an injustice to live, to be blessed, to be favored by God, and not know why you were given life. It is said that the greatest discovery of a man or a woman's life is the day you discover the reason for which life was given unto you. I was talking to some friends of mine the other day, and one of them was really boasting. This is an unbeliever. I was talking about his goods and his wealth and how he's been so blessed. And I said to him, I said, you know, this attitude of yours and confidence and importance you have about yourself is sinking sand. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, you know me, I'm a preacher. And I live by scripture, and things I say is backed and influenced by scripture. And I said that if your confidence and your importance, or how important you feel about yourself, is a result of how much money you have or material goods you have or achievements, then you are to be pitied among all men. Because all those things have expiry dates. They all do have expiry dates. Then I said to him, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 9:24 where he says that let anyone that boast of this one thing, that he knows I, the Lord, and understand me. Read it. Look at Jeremiah 9:24.
But let him that glorieth glory in this.
Yeah, if you're going to glory and feel very important about who you are and boast and throw your weights around, then God said, this is the basis for doing that. Go ahead.
Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me.
That he understands me and knoweth me. That so if you don't understand Adonai, and you don't know Elohim as the foundation of your importance, then you are to be pitied among all men. So please take it easy. I went to a country the other day, and the former first lady heard I was in town and sent a word, and they came to my hotel and said, the former first lady wants to speak to you, and she's under arrest in prison, and somebody said, you can't talk to her, you are being monitored. And I said, who is monitoring me? My kingdom is different from the kingdoms of this world. I am an ambassador of the Most High. I am not subjected to the rules and the kingdoms of this world. And I will show mercy, because blessed are the merciful, and they shall obtain mercy. And I said, if I talk to her, I will also pray for her on the phone. And they can record me. And I cannot be charged for praying for a human being who needs my prayers. And I knew her. And I used to go to that country when she was first lady, and they took very good care of me. So I called her, and she said, thank you for calling. And I said, what were you thinking, that I will not call? God forbid. And we talked, and I prayed for her. And I was happy I did. And it doesn't matter what anybody said or anybody will say, it is my responsibility and my duty to show mercy and to care for people when everybody forsakes them and leaves them alone. But I'm just telling you something, that if your importance in life, if you feel very important, people really feel very important too, even in church. People feel very important sometimes because they have a new car. Just car. That toy, car is a toy. An accident can wipe it out in a minute or two. Makes them important. Some breakthrough and some blessings you stumble upon can make you feel very important than yourself and than anybody else. God said, finish that scripture quickly, look at it.
Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment.
I exercise loving kindness,
judgment,
righteousness
in the earth. For in these things I delight.
He said, these are the things I take pleasure in. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness are the things I delight in. I don't delight in the things men delight in. I don't delight in wealth and money, even though it's important for you. It means nothing to me. Because they come and they go and they all have expiry dates. But these are things that endures from generations to generations. And when men are gone, these things will still stand the test of time. Ladies and gentlemen, we must understand the essence of life and of blessings. And sometimes it breaks my heart as I travel the nations of the world and I look at men and women whom God have shown mercy and have been kind to and blessed. And yet they live and act as if it was the power of their own hands or creation that has made them who they are and what they are, and they cease and refuse to give God honor. They will not glorify God nor honor God. I want to challenge you from this day to make a commitment that for the rest of your life, you will choose the path of honoring God. It's a good place to clap your hands if you want to. We've been talking about first fruit and what first fruit is. The first day of the week, the first hour of the day, the first week of the month, the first month of the year, that giving God first and giving God the best is critical. And it is required of you and I, and God deserves the best and the first. Because he's first among all things. He's first in all things. That is who he is. And if you are a child of God, you must never struggle. You must never have a problem in acknowledging and giving God the best and first priority of your life. Giving God 1 hour, the first hour of the day, committed to God. Uninterrupted time, putting aside cell phone, disengaging and disconnecting from everything and being still for an hour before God should not be a problem. And if you struggle to do that, you don't understand the essence of life, living, and blessings. Giving God the first week of your month, the first month of your year, these things must not be a struggle. I watch other religions and it bothers me. I was talking to some Jewish rabbis and they came to see me the other day and they said they have to leave before it's 5 p.m. because at 5 p.m., wherever they are, they have to stay there. They can't move. And if they have to do anything, then they must walk from where they are to their house and park their cars. They can't drive. Because it's Sabbath till the next day, 6 p.m. And they were talking to me about some of the religious requirements and things they do. And I just said to myself, is we believers, who understand grace can incorporate some of these principles into our lives and do them religiously, God have mercy, Christianity and churches like our kind and type will fill the face of the earth. And one of the reasons why other religions are advancing and doing well, and possibly in some few decades to come may be better than ours, is because we have no value systems. Our religion or our way of worship and doing things is not regulated. It is just any way, anyhow, and everybody just do their own thing as they please, and a lifestyle that is not regulated and is left for people to just do whatever they please, it's always going to end up in chaos. Come with me, please, to Proverbs 3, 9 to 12. Proverbs 3, 9 to 12.
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Underline the first word. Honor the Lord with your substance. Is your substance honoring the Lord? You have to ask that question. You see, when you read the Bible, don't just read it. It's a question. You have to answer it. Honor the Lord with your substance. So you must ask yourself, are you honoring God with your substance? Because if your substance is not honoring the Lord, you are despising the Lord and you are in disobedience. Go ahead.
Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
With the first fruit of all your increase or earning. This has nothing to do with people who earn salary. This has to do with every one of us. People in business, in any work of life. Any earning, a businessman, a businesswoman, the first breakthrough you get this year, you do a transaction and you get a breakthrough out of it. A transaction comes, you get a breakthrough out of it. The first breakthrough you get out of that transaction, whether it is 1 penny or it's 1 billion or 1 trillion, the Bible says, honor the Lord with it. It's not yours. And if you struggle to do that, it is very clear that you don't understand the essence of life and living and blessings. Because I see a lot of, if Christians who act like other religions do, for every religion of this earth, I've studied some religions and I've encountered some of these folks in other religions, and the way they take their religions and their wealth, their substance, and everything they are and they do is about promoting their religion. And some of the things I preach and I say, a preacher called me the other day and he said, you know, Archbishop, I've been following your preaching these days for a while now, and I've come to the conclusion that many of us must change our preaching and start saying some of the things you are saying. And I said, why? He said, you know, I'm looking at some things and I realized that the church have missed it. We've missed it. And I said, I agree with you. We've missed it. And he said, but you know, a lot of preachers are not bold to say some of the things you are saying because they don't want to offend the people. And I said, well, by God's grace, I have just learned to say what the Bible says, I should say, without apology. But if you struggle to honor the Lord with your substance, it means that your cars, your houses, your investment, your material goods, all those things must honor God. If it is not honoring God, then God said, you are despising me. And I'll prove it as we go ahead. Is your substance honoring God? Your house. Is your house so important that you can't honor God with your house? That you can't open it up for brethren to come and break the scriptures and pray in your house? A house that you won't take with you. A house that a stranger. I was in a house the other day when we were kids. Grew up at Airport Residential Area. And there was this house that belongs to my father's friend. They were all Freemasons. And in those days, every one of us looked forward to go play in that house. And I'm telling you, that house was built 50 years ago. And you just don't enter that house unless you are a son, a daughter of a friend of the owner of the house in those days. And I went there the other day and took some people there, and I was telling them the story of that house. And you should see the one who owned that house and has bought that house. And I walked at the rooftop of the house. I looked at, and the owner didn't know I know the house very well. Because we used to go there and do things. And I walked the place, and I shook my head. And at the top, I stood and looked at the whole airport residential area. And goosebumps fell upon me. And I said, let us pray. And I said, thou, O Lord, that takes beggars from the dustbin and gives them a seat and a throne among kings, princes, and princesses, that you may make men to know that you are God all by yourself, and you do whatever pleases you at any time, at your pleasure, Almighty God. Thank you. And when I left the house, I shook my head. And I said, who thought? And whoever imagined that 50 years later, this house that nobody could buy or to touch will fall in the hands of somebody whose parents couldn't even pay his school fees and struggle, didn't have a house to go to when they were on vacation, has to stay at school. Give you the history to blow your mind. And I stood there and I said, you know, I pity people who put so much value and importance on material goods and think their importance must be based on material goods or earthly goods or achievement. You are to be pitied. You don't know history. First fruit of all thy increase, you don't understand it. Because if you do, the gospel would have spread the face of the earth. We just started a church in Abu Dhabi and in Dubai. And the things we can do, we just started another one in Kenya. How we can spread with this gospel and what we have in this house is not common. You have no idea what we have in this house. It's not common. When I went to Liberia and I arrived at the airport in Liberia, in the matters of hours, we had over 700,000 people online viewing my trip to Liberia. 700,000. And I can go on and go on and go on. The essence of life and blessings is to honor God. And if all we do is to enjoy the blessings and the goodness of God, and we are not honoring Him for whatever reason, if whatever God requires of us is too much to honor God with, it means that you have no value of who He is, and you don't honor Him, and He will dishonor those who dishonor Him. Go ahead.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Which means that whatever you think you have is not enough. It means that God has more for you than what you have. If you think you have arrived and you've seen blessings, may I subject to you, ladies and gentlemen, this blessed Sunday morning, that you ain't seen nothing yet. Turn to somebody and say, you haven't seen anything yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you have an idea of what God has in stock for you and what the future holds for you, you will never struggle to honor God, even with $1 trillion, if it is your first fruit. You will not think, you will not blink an eye. It will never be an issue. Go ahead.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction.
You see, look at the sequence of this thing. It's precept upon precept and line upon line. He said, my son or my daughter, don't be weary. Don't take offense when it comes to being corrected or being reminded of what God requires of you. There are people who take offense to the scriptures. They take offense to such words because to him that is pure, all things are pure. And there are people who have been deceived and lied to and poisoned by the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world, and think that somebody is trying to mess with you, and somebody is trying to take something from you, or somebody is trying to manipulate you to get something. Let me tell you something. I have been preaching for 40 years, and I haven't been on this route and on this journey 40 years with a mind to deceive or to manipulate people. My greatest asset has been the fact that I've always had a heart to lift people, to build people, to empower people, and help people to discover potentials and fulfill it. But people take offense to telling them the truth. And the Bible says, don't be offended. Don't be weary when you are reminded or corrected for not doing the right thing. But there are so many seated here and hearing the sound of my voice through the nations of the world who do not honor God truly. They play games with God. And yet they call upon the Lord and they cry to God and they pray, my God, my God, where is my God? Where art thou? You have no right to say, my God, my God. And you have no right to say, where is God or where is my God, when you don't honor him as it's required of you and I. Go ahead.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
So the reason for which God will ever remind you and correct you is because of his love for you.
Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth.
You correct. There are people that I never correct. There are people, I don't correct them. I leave them alone. Even among my pastors and bishops and members of my church, there are some people I won't talk to them. I don't say anything. You know, one time, the prophet Samuel was crying over God's decision concerning King Saul. And God had rejected Saul. And Samuel did everything to say, oh God, God, I really need you to reconsider your decision about the king. And God said, what are you wasting your time? Don't waste your time. I've concluded that this man will never change. And that is who he is. Because he refused to honor me, and I want nothing to do with him. And Samuel will grieve. And God said, you are wasting your time and your energy. And there are people like that. I love you. I will pray for you. But you will never come into my holies of holies, and I will not engage you, and I won't spend my energy and my time trying to advise or help you in anything, because I have concluded that it's a waste of time and energy to correct some people because they don't have the attitude of receiving correction from God. One of my pastors years ago was leaving. He was leaving Action to do his own thing. He said God had called him to set up his own church, and I said, fine, you can go. Then he came to me and said, Papa, do you have any advice for me? And I said, no. He said, but I'm your son. And I said, yes. So what? He said, but as a son, I need my father's advice. And I said, you are not a true son. And I said, Jesus said, a son abides in the house forever, but the servant does not. A son abides in the house forever, but the servant does not. So I said, don't be fooled. And don't come and tell me that the Lord or the Holy Spirit has told you to leave your father's house and then ask for my blessings. I have no blessings for you. You are not a son. All along you've been a servant. And congregation members who follow people who leave don't understand God and the ways of God, because the Holy Spirit will never give you a prophecy that contradicts the scriptures. When the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long. The same Lord will not tell you, dishonor your father and dishonor your mother. My father was not born again. My father was a Freemason. And my father was a wizard. He was not just a wizard, he was a warlock. My dad. He had a snake in the house we live in. And one time me and Bishop Nyaku planned we were going to kill the snake. We saw it a few times. So we fasted for 3 days, and it was just between the two of us to kill the snake. The second day he called me. He was then in London in exile. And he called me and said, "Son, my snake, make sure nobody kills it. It won't hurt anybody." And I said, "Before that chair." So I told Bishop Nyaku, "It looks like the man knows what is going on. So let's leave it alone." Before we moved here, years before we came here, when I was looking for a land, my father had a dream and he saw this church. He saw the bank. He saw clinic. He saw university. Things I never dreamt of. He saw everything in his dream and he said, "Write it down. It will come to pass. Don't take my dreams for granted." My father, he said some very serious things that I said, "By you are not born again. You don't have the Holy Ghost. So where do you get all these things from?" It was years after I understood that he was a diviner and he was operating with a familiar spirit. And he had all these doves in our house that he feeds and take care of. It was later I realized that those were his agents that communicated for him. My father. And yet, I never dishonored him. I honored him till he died. And before he died, he called all my siblings and said, "I'm telling you something. Nicholas is young, but he's the Joseph of my children. And I'm handing every one of you over to him." Ask my siblings. Don't clap. Ask my siblings. They'll tell you. And he said, if you listen to him, it will be well with you. And if you don't listen to him, it's up to you." My father. And he wasn't born again. He was a warlock. A diviner. And yet the Bible said, "Honor your father and your mother." So I have issues with these prophets who come around with all these prophecies that contradict scripture. And this guy said, I'm a son. And I said, "You have never been a son. You've always been a servant. Because servants, they work for gain and for income and for salary, but a son serves for an inheritance." I've taught my children that I'm not paying you around, you're not entitled to salary. You are working for the Lord, and if you do it well, you'll be blessed and rewarded. This is not a job, it's a calling. If you want a job, go find a job somewhere. You want salary, go work somewhere. And I said to him, "If it is in you to do good, you will do good. And if it is in you to do evil, you will do evil." And he said, "What are you saying?" I said, "It doesn't matter what advice I give you. Whatever is in your heart will come out. It's just a matter of time. So I'm not going to spend my energy trying to advise you." It wasn't 2 years when he left me. And what was in him came out. And years after, he came to see me to apologize. And I said, "Didn't I tell you that what was in you will come out?" So I don't spend my energy and time. When you see me ignore somebody, I have concluded by the workings of God's grace that individual, there's a possibility that you are a son and a daughter of perdition. You can Google what that means. But let's go ahead. 1 Samuel 2:30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30.
I'm reading from the Good News Bible. Mm-hmm. It said, "I, the Lord God of Israel, promised in the past that your family and your clan would serve me as priests for all time. But now I say that I won't have it any longer. Instead, I will honor those who honor me, and I will treat with contempt those who despise me."
See, this is a very, very serious scripture. It has to do with Eli. And God said, "I promise in the past." So please, let me say this. As much as God is merciful and gracious, he can also change his mind. And he's gracious, he's merciful, but he's also the God of judgment. And he's also the God of justice. And he said, "I did promise you in the past that you and your house shall stand before me as a priest forever, but I've changed my mind." And this was the reason why he changed his mind. He said, you refused to honor me. You were unwilling to honor me. You honored other things. You honored some things. You honored people. You honored your substance. You honored your achievements. But you did not honor me. And because of that, I've changed my mind. My original plan and intent has changed. And he said, I honor those who honor me. Do you honor him? One of the benefits of honoring God is that God will place honor on you and on your seed and on your household. He gives you honor that outlives you. Transgenerational blessings is a product of honoring the Lord. And the reason why we don't see transgenerational blessings in this country and in places like Nigeria, Africa, is because the fathers don't honor God with their substance. Their whole life and their living is their substance and what they have. That is what makes them relevant. And when they pass away, you pass by like the house I was talking to you about, and you see the glory fades away. It departs and it lies in waste. But you travel to Europe and you go to North America and you will see 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 generations, transgenerations of wealth and blessing still relevant like it was before, even more. You know that Steve guy who died, Apple? Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs. He had all this wealth, billions of dollars. And after he died, they are making more money than he made when he was alive. But do you know that the billions of dollars could not cure his leukemia, his cancer? I couldn't cure him. He died. If anyone had told him that if you pay $1 trillion, somebody can cure you, he will find that money. You can't buy life. And for we believers, we must never struggle when it comes to honoring the Lord. Because for some of you, if you look at where you have come from and your background, you are only where you are in this life. You have only become relevant because of God's mercies and favor and grace. So especially you must honor God. Because you see, for some of us, we are not a second generation wealth people. I'm telling you. I am a product of grace. I am not a product of my father's blessings or my father's wealth. Whoever my father was has nothing to do with who I am. I am a product of grace and the message of God. And God helped me the day I ever assume or think or imagine that I've accomplished anything. I'm a product of mercy and grace. And I will forever honor God. Because I want a transgenerational blessings. I want something that outlives me. There are homes and houses at Airport Residential and other places I know about. That the glory that was in those houses cannot be imagined. You can't imagine it. Unimaginable. And today, after the fathers passed, when you pass by, you see the gates are locked, the doors are shut, everything, and it's like ghost town. And sometimes when I pass, I say, hey, is that so-so and so's house? You tremble even when you are passing by the gates. What shall yours be like 50 years from now? What shall it be like in the days of your children? Transgenerational blessing is only guaranteed if you are one that honored the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase. Not what you choose, not what you want. You are not tipping God and you are not doing God a favor. To honor God is a privilege. To honor God is a privilege. Please don't be fooled. I was talking to a friend of mine who came to see me yesterday about a situation he was dealing with in a village and how poor the village is. And I said, have you offered to build a hospital for them or a school? He said, no. And I said, stop giving them money, build a school, build a hospital for them. Do something for the village. That speaks volume, not giving them money. And I said, you are better than that. And he said, you know, you are right. I'll immediately do something. I said, do something. Those are the things that speaks volume. Not just the houses we build for ourselves and our kids, but what we do for the service of God and humanity will speak and live after you. The essence of life and living. He said, I honor those who honor me.
And I will treat with contempt those who despise me.
He said, those who dishonor me, those who refuse to honor me with their substance, with the first fruit of all their increase, it doesn't matter what it is. He said, I will treat you with contempt. It's scary. But I will honor those who honor me. Please, let me tell you something. I was looking at the wealth of Solomon the other day, and when we calculated it and brought it to today's market value, Solomon was a trillionaire. If he lived today, he'll be a trillionaire. And there is no trillionaire yet. We don't have it. We have billionaires, but we don't have trillionaires. I have a billionaire friend of mine. He comes with his jet every now and then to visit me. He's been bankrupt 3 times. Ford Magazine just declared his wealth the other day. He worth over $5 billion, and he has been bankrupt 3 times. A billionaire, not a trillionaire. Solomon was a trillionaire. You can put your hands together. It's a good place to put your hands together. I honor those who honor. Listen, turn to somebody and say, do you honor God with your substance, with the first fruit of all that increase? Honor God. Look at me. If you will honor God, he will honor you. God honors those who honor him. If you stand for God, he will stand for you. It's simple as that. And don't ever get to a point in life where your importance is a result of your education. Are you hearing me? If your importance is a result of the certificate on your wall, you are to be pitied. Because all that certificate is saying is that you've been to school and you are educated. But certificate and education don't make you a proper person or human being. It just makes you smart. And if you were a thief before you were educated, you become an educated thief. Arrogant, proud. Arrogant, educated. Educated, proud. None of those things shows that you are a good human being. So turn to somebody and say, please, give me a break. We have to deal with foundations of attitude. Because even the way we treat one another in church is very important. He said, I will treat you with contempt if you don't honor me. And honoring God is not what you say. I bless you, Lord. I love you, Lord. No. Bible says, let us not love by words, but by deeds. If you love God, prove it. If you honor him, prove it. Not what you say, but what you do. Come with me. Let me show you something. Look at Genesis 1:28. The NIV,
Amplified.
The Amplified.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea.
Just that. The most important thing in Genesis 1:28 is the fact that God said, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to multiply, I want you to replenish the earth, I want you to have dominion over all my creation. But he said, let all these be deployed and use them for the service of God and humanity. Service of God and humanity. And until we get to that place where we use the privileges, the skills, the giftings, the talents, whether it's voice, whatever it is that we have, intelligence, education, whatever it is, until we use it for the service of God and for the benefits of humanity, we were not born. We didn't come into this world. And we will be a disappointment on the last day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm talking as believers, not to unbelievers. That it doesn't matter how much we serve God and we attend church, if we don't use all this for the service of God and humanity, we are a disappointment. Please let me say it all over again, because it breaks my heart when I see the covetousness and I see the selfishness in our lives. You know, I went to a country the other day and I was very sad when I looked at the roads and the amount of wealth that has come through that country and all these millions of dollars from donor nations to this country, and it all goes to those in authority. And you ask yourself, where is all the money? Where is the wealth? And they take wealth and money for the need and the benefits of mothers and children and the people of the country, and send it to Dubai and other places, and don't develop their own country, don't develop anything, and take these monies to develop countries and don't use it to do anything in their own country. I mean, it breaks my heart. I say, who are we? Where did we come from? What kind of people are we? If your money is in any developed country, you are waiting for me to say something. Tell somebody, just repent. Just repent. I say, just repent. Until you use the resources you have to develop, to improve on the conditions of your family, your village, your country, your nation, you are a disappointment. And if you leave your village in the same state and condition you met it when you came into this world, by the time you leave this world, you didn't come into this world. You were not born. You see, sometimes people talk about foreigners. But when you look at Villaggio, it doesn't matter what you say about the Terriconis. At least that thing standing there makes a statement, and it is a legacy. And you can say whatever you want to say about foreigners. At least he has made a statement. He has contributed to the beauty, to the development of this city, and brought value to real estate. You are not clapping, because I'm not talking about you. If you go to Airport Hills and you see what AC and Kofi has done there, Gbedema, he's one of the best real estate in the city today. If you see what they have done there, they've added value. And there are people who has more than AC and Kofi and won't do what they have done there. Will take the money to Dubai, to a developed country, to hide the money there, and they live in Ghana here. It's a witchcraft mentality. I have to say that to get your attention. Whatever that is an evil mentality. There is no Disney park in West Africa. With all the wealth of Nigeria, there is no Disney park in Nigeria. We still go to Disneyland and Disney in South Africa and in France and in Europe. There is no Disney park in West Africa. Folks, there's something wrong with us. Oh. You can look at me any way you want to look at me. There is something wrong with us. I went on a cruise one time and I didn't see one Kodaki. Not one Kodaki on board. Relaxing. It was all the Oyibos and the Caucasians I saw relaxing in the pool with their wives and their children, having a good time and everything. There was no person I saw. It was, I think, only one African American. No African. Africans, we don't relax. We don't have fun. Valentine is coming, I've told New Seasons to have a package for couples, at least for couples, 100 Ghana cedis for couples, and 60 for singles. And I want all the singles, this is the time to go out, relax. But the fact of the matter is that with Valentine, there are men who will still insist that their wife should give them fufu and abenkwai and bunubunu Sunday morning before they come to church. There are men like that. They want bunubunu Sunday morning before they come. That is their breakfast. And on Valentine Day, they will say, Ekuya, today I feel for some apim and kontomre and ko. Turn to somebody and say, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? My people from the north will say, give me some teasers. This Valentine, give your wife a break. Wednesday is Valentine, give her a break. We'll close Wednesday service early for Valentine. Take your wife out to New Seasons or somewhere. Give the woman a break. We don't have fun. When you see couples travel, it's business. We don't travel to go relax. We don't bless anybody. We are like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea receives, but it never gives out. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. Come with me to Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4, and it's time to close.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
You see, a lot of the problem Christians have is this one thing, that they don't know. Somebody say, me, I don't tithe, but I'm blessed. I don't believe in first fruit, I don't give, but I'm still blessed. I have money, I'm loaded. You are joking. You are deceiving yourself. You don't know that God's forbearance or long suffering or kindness that he's showing you, that even though you are disobeying him or you are fooling around, you are sleeping around, you are doing things which is not acceptable and right to God, but God still bless you and favors you, that is not to say that God approves of your disobedience, but he's showing you long-suffering, forbearance, endurance, and his goodness and his kindness. If by some reason that all that would lead you to repentance, but there are people who harden their heart and think that because they are disobedient, and God still favors them and shows them kindness and mercy, they think they've gotten away with it and it's acceptance. It is not acceptance. It's not. Disobedience is disobedience. What is wrong is wrong. And he said, people don't know that God does all of this to lead you to repentance. That one day it will cause you to turn around and say, you know, God, even though I've been disobedient, you've still been good to me, kind to me, so I'm going to get it right. I'm going to do the right thing. Luke chapter 12, verse 15.
And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness.
Beware of covetousness. You've been blessed. You are not blessing anybody. You are not honoring God with what God has done for you. There are people who have skills. And the church needs skill. The church needs people to help. And sometimes, the reason why people stand by and allow others to be destroyed, like what happened to the Jews and the 800 men and women that were destroying children in Rwanda, is the attitude of indifference. Because sometimes I have to inconvenience myself to care for people. And that inconvenience that we have to endure in order to be kind and in order to reach out and in order to help people is the reason for indifference. I'm telling you. Because sometimes you could end up being in trouble of reaching out to help people. And I've been there several times in this country where individuals in the church were in trouble with the powers that be. And it wasn't just enough to intercede for them in prayer, but I have to engage certain powers, even to the highest seat in the country, to intercede and to try to understand why they are being persecuted and the inconvenience I have to go through to do that. Sometimes, if you are not courageous and your bowels of compassion are not feeling of inconvenience and being misrepresented and being told that you, why are you interceding for this individual? I've been there before. Where you'll be asked by number one, why are you so interested in this case? Is it because they've given you something or done something for you or your church and all that? And most times, such people are even people who don't do anything for the church. Sometimes you'll be shocked to see the people who do things for the church are very insignificant people. And yet, you reach out for them and you have to inconvenience yourself. And that inconvenience is the reason why we stand by and watch and see the house of God lie in desolation when it is in our power to do something in honoring the Lord to make a difference. I challenge you today, live to make a difference. Determined to make a difference. And you can only make a difference if you make a decision today. From this day, I will live to honor the Lord. Not by words, but by deeds. I'm telling you to take you far.
For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
That's what Jesus said. He said, your existence, your life does not consist by the abundance of things you have. So stop feeling very important because of what you have. Tell somebody, stop feeling important because of what you have. Stop it. No, tell them, don't be afraid of your faces. I'm giving you authorization to speak. If they don't like it, I will deal with them for you. But tell them, stop feeling so important because of your education or background or what you have. Don't do it. This is Jesus speaking. He said, a man's life or a woman's life does not consist on the abundance of things that he possesses. You know, I tell you something, I'll be very, very honest with you. I had an invitation to go preach somewhere. It's a very big church, somewhere in Latin America. And they've been hitting me, and I said, no, I'm not going. And somebody asked me and said, why? And I said, they are not ready for my message. The kind of message they want to hear, and when I saw all the preachers who are going to preach, I refused to go. They said, we'll give you first class ticket. We'll do this. 5 out of 10. I said, that is not what moves me. Those things don't impress me and moves me. And I said, they can't handle my message. I'm not going to preach messages that makes people happy and appeals to their psyche. I'm not a motivational preacher. I preach the scriptures, the word of God, not motivation. And I said, I'm not going because they are not ready for my message. The things I'm saying and the messages of character, end time, values, conscience, ethics, it's not things certain churches want to hear. They want to hear messages that makes them happy. Messages that makes them feel good. 2 steps, 3 steps, 4 principles, 5 principles to become rich, to become successful. Please, give me a break. That kind of messages is the reason why Christianity has become weak. And other religions are becoming stronger and stronger. Because they don't compromise on their principles. I have important friends who come to visit me here with private jets. They park here. And I tell them, don't come on Sunday morning because I won't be there to meet you. You come on Sunday morning, protocol will meet you, I won't be there. And I can't meet you Sunday morning until after church. Wednesdays, I don't entertain guests or visitors. I'm going to church. And the Jews have similar principles and values. And the Muslims, how come for us, there are some of you seated here, if your business partner is arriving on Sunday morning, you won't come to church? Hello? Turn to somebody and say, is Papa speaking to you? You won't be in church on Sunday morning because your business partner is coming. So you have to go and meet him. And when we do that, even our business partners, they know that we are not serious about our God or our religion. They can take us for granted. But they can be convicted even if you don't win them and invite them to church. By the principles of your life, they will know that, no, this guy, Sunday morning, he's in church. He doesn't play with it. He doesn't travel Sunday morning. We need to honor God. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7.
For who maketh thee to differ from another?
He said, who maketh thee? Not your education, not your father, not your mother, not how smart or principled or disciplined or intelligent you are. He said, who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you to differ from your brothers and your sisters? Who maketh thee to differ from all the people from your village, your hometown, your background? Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who? You know, I was going to Liberia and I called a friend of mine. He said, how are you going? I said, I haven't decided yet. I'm thinking about what airline. He said, I'll send my jet to pick you up. And he said, how many days will you stay? I said, let him drop me and come. He said, no. You might have an emergency and you may have to leave the country. So I'll let the jet stay there with you. So the jet came, picked me, took me to Kumasi, stayed here. Took me to Liberia, and there were 41 private jets that arrived. They were all presidents. I was the only one who arrived with the jet, and I wasn't a president. And I look at me, and I look at my brothers and my sisters and my siblings and everything, and this is not the first time I've used private jet. I've used it a few times. Every now and then, I don't like abusing privileges, so I'm very careful how I ask for it, you know. And I got in there. My father even didn't use a private jet, you know. And I arrived there on a red carpet. Who maketh thee to differ from your siblings? Who maketh you to differ from your father's children, your mother's children, and the people from your town and your village? Who maketh thee to differ? Why do you think you are different from your siblings and from others and your country people? Who maketh it to differ? Please remember these things, because if you don't remember it, you dishonor God and he will dishonor you. He said, I honor those who honor me. I want you to honor God. Who made you to differ from your brothers and your sisters? Do you know you are unique? You know you are different from your other siblings? Yes. And it is God that has made you to be different. And so honor God with your life. Honor God with your life. Honor God. Tell somebody, honor God. Honor God. Honor God. Go ahead.
And what hast thou that thou dost not receive?
He said, what is it that you have that makes you feel so important than all your siblings, your brothers, your sisters, and everybody else, and even your brethren in the church? What maketh you think different, important than others? What is it that you have acquired? What is it that you have? Is it education? Is it exposure? What is it that you did not receive? You were not born with it. You didn't come with it. There was a time when you didn't have anything, and today you have everything. Please, please remember you have received it, and it is only given to you for a reason. And that one reason is to honor God. Not to honor God with your mouth, but do something with it that will cause God to be pleased with you, happy with you. Do something with it that honors the God who gave it to you. Amen. Don't just use it for yourself. Go ahead.
Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?
He said, if you receive it, then why is all this attitude, mentality? You get offended when we preach messages like this. You sit there and think that somebody wants something from you. Please, if right about this time, you don't know that nobody wants something from you, but we want you to do the right thing, then I don't know when you'll be converted. Nobody wants anything from you. We want you to live a life pleasing to God. We want you to live a life that after you are gone, if Jesus tarries, the glory you carry today will still rest upon your children and won't depart from them. You know, the house I was talking about, the guy, when we were talking, and he was saying that if the owner of this house knew that after 50 years, a Pepe man would buy this house and live in it, he wouldn't have believed it. And I said, don't use that word, a Pepe man. Use the word a human being. Because I grew up in the north. I grew up at Wa and Bolga. And people from the north are also human beings. So don't use that word, a Pepe man. Use the word, a human being like you. You are also a human being. Go ahead. If we forget ourselves, if we forget ourselves, we will glory in things we shouldn't glory in. And things that are important, we will devalue it. Revelation 3, 17 and 18, and let us pray. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. I want you to take your time and read this scripture. Take your time, Kora. And I want every one of you to work with me on this one. This is my last scripture for now. Go ahead. Wednesday, we'll continue in another area. Go ahead.
Because thou sayest, I am rich.
And wait, stop. Turn to somebody and say, have you ever said you are rich? Now, some of you say, I've never said it. It's not true. You said it. You say it in many ways without saying it. You've ever seen people who think they know, to know people, and they are very educated? The way they snub people, the way they look on people, they have a way of looking at you. You haven't said anything, but you said enough. Your very attitude betrays you. He said, because you said, go ahead.
I am rich.
I am rich. Go ahead.
And increased with goods.
I increase in good. Even though I don't honor the Lord and I don't pay tithe and I don't believe in first fruit, I still increase in goods. Go ahead.
And have need of nothing.
I don't need anything. Do you know there are people, because of what they have, they believe they don't need anybody. Hey. Tell somebody, hey. You don't need anybody. It's a matter of time. A day comes in your life when you will understand that it's not what you have that is important, but it is who you have in your life. I'm telling you, I've met people who have come to me and said, I will give everything I have just to sleep. To sleep. Sleeping pills don't work for them. Sleeping pills. That was one of them that killed Michael Jackson. He couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep. Had all the money. Can't sleep in the night. And I've met people here in Ghana who can't sleep in the night. They can't sleep. They take all these sleeping tablets, overdose, and yet they can't sleep. And they can't say, Papa, I will give anything to sleep. And if you find out the source of what is not making them sleep is the riches and the goods they've increased in. That thing that is not, the reason why they are not sleeping, is the very thing they said they have. Somebody is after them. Somebody is hunting them. They are afraid that somebody will kill them because of the very thing they said they've increased in, the thing that is preventing them from sleeping and making them insecure and afraid that somebody will kill them, or if they sleep they won't wake up again, is the very thing they say they are rich in it. What is this? Edia, Maba, Leke, Yaya. Go ahead.
And thou knowest not that thou art wretched.
But watch it. He said, you say you don't need
of anything.
Let me tell you, I am God. Let me tell you how I define you. Let me tell you how you look before me. Let me show you your true state before me as God. This is your true state. You are rich. You have increased in goods. You have need of nothing. Let me show you how you truly are and look. Your true state and condition. You've been weighed. Let me tell you who you are. Look at what God is saying.
Thou art wretched.
God said, you say you are rich. You have no need of anything and nobody. Yet you don't know that you are wretched. Go ahead.
You are miserable.
God said, you are miserable.
And poor.
And you are poor.
And blind.
And you can't see. Because the riches, the increase of goods, and all your importance have veiled you and blinded you. God said, you are blind.
And naked.
And you are naked. Go ahead.
I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire.
So God said, now let me advise you as your father. Let me speak to you. He said, I'm giving you a wise counsel. And this is the counsel. He said, buy for me
gold tried in the fire.
Gold tried in fire. He didn't say gold. He said gold tried in fire. That is true riches. Gold on its own that has not been tried in fire, hasn't passed the test of time, has no value at the market.
Gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich.
That you may be truly rich.
And white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed.
So I can cover your nakedness.
And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. That thou mayest see.
That thou mayest see. You know, I don't want to add anything to what written. It's enough for the day. Let him that have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Please stand.